Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back. Lovely to see you all. We really missed you. As you know, we were away on holiday. Welcome to everyone, if you're new. So I'm Florin. I'm the minister in training at Addlestone Baptist Church. And it's lovely to be back. Although we had a good time and we wanted to step away a bit from the tasks and responsibilities, it's always good to be back. And I hope you had a great summer so far, managed to relax and take some time off, or even maybe you've already been on holiday, or maybe you're planning. So God bless you wherever you are. And thank you for your prayers as well while we were away. We had a great time, apart from some challenges, which I will mention in my message this morning, which the message this morning is actually about when God's plans rewrite our own plans. What do we do when our plans are not going as initially thought? How do we respond when life doesn't go the way we planned? When everything we carefully organized, prayed for, or anticipated suddenly changes? When the calendar we thought we have under control is changed at the last minute? When disappointment hits hard? And it takes the wind of our sails. What do we do then? You know, sometimes it's not just one big crisis in life. It's a string of smaller things that are happening. That you then start saying, really, God? This as well? This too? And we've all been there. I'm sure we've all been there. Maybe you are there right now, as it happened for me this summer. I had plans, but not everything in my holiday went as I thought and as I planned. And here is what I learned. God is not only present in the straight path and the smooth path that we have, but he meets us in the detour, in the things he changes, in unexpected twists, the delays and even the disappointments. In fact, I come to realize that some of his greatest work in our lives happens because of the changes, because of the details. And those are not accidents. They are actually divine appointments. And in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 13, God says, I am testing my people. Other translation says, testing will surely come, declares the sovereign Lord. So there will be tests in our lives, testing of our faith. Let's look at some of the big examples in the Bible. People that have been tested quite a lot. I mean, my testing is very small. But let's look, for example, at Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, son of Jacob, the youngest. His dreams as a child, as you remember, as a young person, those dreams looked very promising. Leadership, favor, authority over his brothers. But what followed in his life was betrayal, slavery, and even prison. If you read the story of Joseph, you're thinking, wow, how did he manage to go through all that? Accused by his boss's wife of attempted rape and so on, you know, unlawfully, of course. He spent 30 years in challenging times, challenging circumstances. What a change in his life. And yet, after all those trials, he became the prime minister in Egypt and was able to save his family from famine. And he says in Genesis chapter 50, 20, Joseph said to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So sometimes God will take a painful and long time to prepare us for something greater. Now, my personal challenge during holiday is that I twisted my big toe very badly. I think I was second or third day in my holiday, and I was in serious pain. Now, I look around and I see some ladies smiling. Oh, you men, you don't know what pain is. Okay, I take that. But this was a real pain, I can tell you. Like, I couldn't even sleep properly a few nights. It was like a tooth pain. Like even if I didn't do anything, it was really painful. So obviously, we had to cancel some of the things we planned, like museums and sightseeing and all that. But through that change, I actually got to rest a bit more. Although a few nights I couldn't sleep, but God knew I needed a good rest. So through that, actually, God worked in my holiday to get a good rest. And it was, you know, annoying. A small part of my body, like a toe, right, creating so much pain. And it's like a tooth pain as well, a small part of our body. And that reminded me, you know, it's the same in our church. We are the body of Christ. And every person, every part of that body, we need to look and care for each other. Just as we look for the smaller parts and all the parts in our body. So that is how sometimes God gets our attention, through a toe pain or a leg pain or a tooth pain. And he has a sense of humor sometimes to direct us through that to what we really need. But it's always, God is always driven by his amazing love for us. And also, as you can probably hear my voice, I had a cold symptoms towards the end of my holiday, starting Monday, Tuesday this week. Didn't feel very well. So I thought, okay, all year I had nothing, no flu, no cold. So now I have them all on my holiday. So I was off sick on holiday. So I'm back to work now, ready to carry on. But, you know, that's just how it is. And then another example I was thinking was Moses. As you remember, Moses grew up and was educated in the house of the Pharaoh in Egypt, the king of Egypt, as a prince. And as a young man, he was full, of confidence. He tried to get matters into his own hands. As you remember, he took the life of an Egyptian guard who were beating up a slave, a Hebrew slave. So he did things his own way, which resulted in him fleeing scared for his life in the desert. Now Moses, as you know, spent 40 years hiding away from the Egyptian authorities, scared for his life. But those 40 years were God's training for his life, when finally God calls Moses from the burning bush, as you remember. So sometimes your calling, my calling, doesn't come with a microphone. It comes through a season of waiting on God's word for you. And then the biggest disappointment, if you like, also happened during my holiday. And some of you know this. About halfway through in my holiday, I found out that Spurgeon's College, as you all know, I'm doing a master's degree and a ministerial formation at Spurgeon's College. So I was about to start my final year in September, you know, all prepared, ready to go. But sadly, Spurgeon's College will close, and actually has already closed with immediate effect because of some financial challenges. So they are actually in liquidation. And I'm still, if I'm honest, still heartbroken, uncertain about where I will finish my master. And of course, we are in correspondence with the Baptist Union, so I'm sure God has a way through this. And I will keep the leadership informed, and I will keep you also informed. And God in all that says, don't panic. Don't panic. I've got this. But we need to pray for, obviously, first of all, the staff at Spurgeon's College. So obviously they lost their jobs overnight. So let's keep praying for the staff at Spurgeon's College and for all the students. You know, their plans are all over the place at the moment. Perhaps some of them, they couldn't even start their journey in September. But God is still in control. In all that, we need to trust him. And there are other examples that we can think of, but I think I'll stop there. And just to realize, sometimes closed doors are God's redirection in our life, not rejection. So then, having said all that, we now need to think of some of the principles. How are we dealing with disappointment in our life? What are we going to do? And the first thing I thought is, like, we need to always choose faith when fear knocks on our door. Always choose faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And we said this many times in our church. In the Bible, there are about 365 times God says, fear not. And this is one reminder for each day of our lives. Because fear shrinks our perspective, but faith expands our vision. And let me ask you this morning, how big is our God? How big is my God? How big is your God? Because when we magnify the size of our God, our fears naturally become smaller. And choosing faith means actively trusting that God's plans is better, even when it's not clear and it doesn't make sense. And faith isn't like a blind optimism, it's a confidence that the one who holds the future can be trusted with the present. Let me say that again. The one who holds the future, our God, he can be trusted with the present, even if it doesn't make sense. Because what is the will of God? You know, our opening words for the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And when we say that, we're asking God to do his will, perfect will, here on this earth. Which means that his will is perfectly executed in heaven, but it's not on the earth. And why? Because of our choices, because of our freedom of choice. And that's why, are we prepared to really trust and believe and ask God for his will to be done on this earth? And to recognize, as in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, then, when we pray like that, when we accept that, then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Because if God is God, and you know, if we call him our Lord, doesn't he have the right to exercise his will in our lives? And Jesus himself gave us an example. He didn't want to go through all the pain and suffering on the cross. He actually prayed in Luke chapter 22, 42. He said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So can we pray like Jesus, even when things are tough, even when things don't make sense? He didn't want to go through all that pain, the suffering, the beating, the execution on the cross. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And he did all that because he loved you and because he loved me. So if he did that amazing sacrifice for us, we need to trust him in the smaller things, you know, a twisted toe or whatever. And I do sometimes find myself thanking God, you know, for the things he did in my life and for my family and for our church and our achievements. But I think I need to learn to thank God more for who he is. For who he is. And to learn to say to God, show me your will, not my will. And even if it's hard, we need to learn that faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps us going. And to never give up. And the second thought for this message to deal with disappointment is for us all to learn to rest in the truth that God has the final word. He has the final say. In Psalm 75, verses 6 to 7, he says, No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. You know, we look at this messed up world with wars and things, and we're thinking, who's going to deal with all of that? God has the final word. And we've seen that in history. When things, you know, went really bad, as we know in the Second World War, in the First World War, God always drives things as he wishes. And in the Bible, God doesn't promise us our life on earth will be fair. He doesn't say that. And that's what I like about the Bible. The Bible is very honest with us. But the Bible does say that God is a God of justice. And one day we believe that everything on this earth will be brought to his throne of justice. He will make justice. He will judge every hidden abuse, every hidden crime, every unresolved trial will one day, if not on this earth, one day in his presence, we will find justice. And Jesus himself even doesn't promise a life with no problems. He actually says in John 16:33, I have told you these things, everything that Jesus told us, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So this is the teaching this morning. God has everything under control. And even when our life may feel like a messy storm sometimes, God is at work through all our circumstances. He sees the whole picture from the beginning, and nothing takes him by surprise. So trusting him means us giving him control and letting go of the illusion that we must have all the answers. That, you know, whatever feels in our life like a setback, it actually may mean a setup from God for something greater. And I have to say, this is hard for me because I am a very calculated individual, you know, as I'm sure many of you are. I like to calculate things, you know, calculate the risks, where I'm going, how I'm planning stuff in my life. And this is a tough lesson. You know, as I said about the college, you know, I had everything planned. I have the dissertation ready to go, books, research, everything prepared. And now this, the closure of the college. So we need to learn to let go. I need to learn more in my life to let go and trust God more. And then the third principle this morning is that we need to learn to wait for God's timing. The story isn't finished yet. And in Psalm 27, verses 13, 14, it says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This confidence that the Psalm says here, we need to have it in our lives. And waiting for God's timing is not passivity, is not being passive and doing nothing. We do our part. You know, you have an exam coming, you prepare for the exam. You look for a job, you apply for jobs. You stay close to God in prayer, reading, getting to know where you are, learning what God wants to tell you. And sometimes, unfortunately, out of fear, we want to take a shortcut in our lives, isn't it? Same as King Saul did in 1 Samuel. Saul waited for Samuel for 7 days. Samuel was the prophet, and only Samuel was allowed to bring the offering to God. But he says, Saul waited for Samuel for 7 days, the amount of time he had been told by Samuel to wait. But the prophet did not come. And the people began to slip away, to leave. And a few more days and Saul maybe would have no army left. So he decided to take matters into his own hands. Under pressure, he grew fearful and acted on his own instead of obeying God's command to wait for Samuel. And by offering the sacrifice himself, he followed his own will rather than God's will. So Samuel rebuked him. What have you done? Says in verse 11. That was a foolish thing, Saul. You have not kept the commandment that the Eternal, your true God, gave you. And as we know, Saul's disobedience cost him his kingdom. Everything changed. So the lesson is that we should not act in fear or with impatience, because we can step over God's will in our lives. But trusting him in obedience and wait for his time is essential. As James says in chapter 5, be patient like a farmer waiting for harvest. And you know, God works in our lives in seasons. And not all seasons are like harvest. Some seasons may be dry. Waiting can be difficult sometimes. Delays, remember, are divine appointments. Is God working in our lives? And to be honest, we often blame God for what's happening in our lives, for disappointments. Because reflecting back on my foot pain, right? Well, God gave me some warnings before. As some of you know, I always said, I need to do more exercising. I need to go out more. So I'm sitting too much on my desk, on the computer. So God told me before, but I didn't listen. So obviously, the sand, soft sand, wasn't fit for my poor legs, I think. So what I'm saying is sometimes we need to read the signs. God wants to tell us something through circumstances. And if we don't act, well, he has a way of telling us later. And another point is like we need to search for God's lessons when our plans are not going our way. God doesn't waste pain, never. Every disappointment in your life, in my life, holds a hidden valuable lesson. Something God wants to tell you. Something God is shaping in your character. Deepening your trust. Redirecting your path. So instead of only asking why? Why me? As I know Sarah used to say, she had that lesson as well. We need to begin to ask, what now? And what for? And what's next? Because disappointment can either make us bitter or better. Shall we say that again? Disappointment can either make us bitter or better. The difference is whether we allow God to teach us through the pain and disappointment. And you know, we know this verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And it's such a good verse, isn't it? But while I was writing it down, I realized it is God who knows the plans for us, not us. And sometimes it's hard to accept that. For I know the plans I have for you. Not you, not me. God knows the plans he has for us. So are we trusting these plans for me and you? Because we need to see him not only when things are going smoothly, but also we need to seek him in our pain, in our disappointment and challenge. And I know we're more like verses who talks about God's promises, God's blessings, but we don't like verses who talks about what we need to do, how we need to trust and come closer to God. And how do we move? This is another key lesson. How do we move from trusting God when we like his plans in our lives, to still trusting him when we don't? It's easy to say yes to God when the path looks pleasant, blessings are ahead of us, when his plans match our dreams, when the blessings are obvious, when his will feels comfortable. We say yes to his forgiveness, we say yes to his blessings. But what about when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me? And that is where it gets real, isn't it? We say yes, for example, to serving God in a ministry, maybe as we are planning, working with teenagers in a youth club. And it is rewarding. It is eternal work. It's storing treasures in heaven. But there may be tiring nights, late nights, preparations, noisy rooms, challenging teenagers, the moments you go home exhausted. And we say yes, for example, to becoming a leader in the church, a deacon, accepting God's call in your life. And then we discover part of that includes maybe sitting through long and sometimes boring admin meetings. But so important for the running of this church. So the truth for us this morning is that when we say yes to God's call, that always means we say yes to these challenges. And it was no different for the apostles. If we read the book of Acts, wow, it's amazing to learn how many challenges they had. They faced judgment from others. They dealt with internal conflict, rights of widows, as we know, and who should do and who should go with whom. They endured misunderstanding, accusations, constant threat of prison, even death. Why? Simply because they followed Jesus. And yet, they never stopped saying yes. Why? Because they had seen the worth of the one and only Jesus Christ. They have understood who he is, the Son of God, our Savior, our King. They had tasted the joy of obedience, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the hope of eternity in their lives. And you and I are called to do the same. Not just saying yes when it's easy, but saying yes when it's costly, when it's tiring, when it's uncertain. So we say yes to God and we receive Jesus in our hearts and we will follow him no matter what. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, this is the day for you. If you want to say yes to Jesus, I will be more than happy to pray for you at the end of the service. And then two short final principles, and then we move on to the conclusion. You know, in disappointment, we need to learn how to grow compassion for others. In Romans 15 says, we must bear the burden of each other. And during my painful nights, I have to tell you, I thought about people more. I thought about people who live in chronic pain, who are in hospital. And it reminded me to pray more for others. Because disappointment teaches us compassion. Personal pain is a way of softening our hearts towards the struggles of others. You know, when we walk through our own valleys, we gain deeper understanding for the challenges in other people's lives. And that empathy can become a powerful tool of prayer and encouragement for each other. So instead of turning inward when it hurts, turn outward and let your experience bring a blessing, a comfort for someone else. I will never know how it feels to go through certain things that I'm sure many of you went through. So it's only you that can comfort someone who goes through the same challenge as you did in the past. And then lastly, practice gratitude. You know, I've shared with you some of my struggles this holiday, and they're not as big. They're not as big as some of the challenges maybe you are facing. As I mentioned, the closure of Spurgeon's College just before my last year of study, the foot pain, a cold that I'm still clearing up. And I thought, okay, Lord, that's enough for now, is it? But no. Actually, Jon had a very painful stomach issue before his travels. And we were worried he would not catch the plane. He was really in pain with his stomach. But now he's fine. And I thought, okay, the test is over. But apparently not. Friday, when we came back, I tried to start the car to do some shopping. Obviously, cupboard's empty. And I tried to start the car. Nothing. I was smiling, really good. Now this? Not even to start my car. It was the battery. It's sorted now. And then there was a smell in the kitchen. We didn't know from where. And apparently it was a small leak under the sink from the sewage pipes. It's like, really, this now as well? But it's sorted now. All sorted. But you know, here is what I'm learning. If we only look at what's going wrong, we will miss what God is quietly doing right in the background. And in the middle of that frustrating week, he gave me an amazing gift. You all know I'm not a good gardener. Well, I don't have time for it, if I'm honest. But when we came back home and we look in front of the garden here at the manse, you know what we saw? We have a little picture to share with you. We saw this. That is a little apple tree in front of the manse here, full of apples. And we all love apples, don't we? And I haven't done anything apart from cutting it randomly at some point. I don't even remember. And that is all God's work, all he's doing. You know what? In that moment, I saw a picture of what he wants to do with us all. We might look small in the eyes of this world, like this little tree. Look how small it is. We might feel overlooked or battered by challenges, but in God's hands, our lives can overflow with the fruit that brings him glory, the fruit of love, the fruit of joy and faithfulness. Because every challenge is not meant to break us, but to help us bear more fruit for God and for his kingdom. As in 1 Thessalonians, we learn, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And while I was in pain with my foot, I just wanted to say I was grateful to learn that here in the church, there were people stepping up to help with the breakfast and serve the church. I was grateful to listen to the sermons on a Sunday, grateful for my family, because gratitude changes our perspective. It doesn't remove pain, but it lifts your heart in that pain. And we are not told, as we read, give thanks in all circumstances. We are not told to be thankful for all circumstances, so there's a difference. Be thankful in everything. Because gratitude shifts our focus for what is from what is missing to what remains in our lives. God's blessings for us will never end. So final thoughts. You know, we easily jump to conclusions when things don't go as planned. We may say, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. I am not worthy. God will never forgive me for what I've done. He has forgotten me. And people can shout lies at us, or even our hearts whisper, or the enemy can shout these lies in our hearts and minds. We are not worthy. God doesn't really care about us. That's why that job hasn't come yet. That's why I'm still single. That's why your plans are crumbled, and so on and so on, whatever we may be going through our lives. But I want to tell you this morning, these thoughts are not from God. His love for you and for me is constant, unshaken by circumstances, and delays and detours are not evidence of abandonment. They can be God's careful hands shaping your character and my character, protecting us even from unseen harm. Maybe my car didn't start on Friday. He protected me from an accident. I don't know. I need to trust him. He is leading us towards something better always. And you remember, I put together a while ago 3 verses from the scripture. And when I always go through some challenging times, I go back to that quote or motto, if you like, from Zephaniah, Nehemiah, and Philippians. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Therefore, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. And let me just close with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word for us this morning. We thank you for your blessings, your promises, but also for some of the challenging verses that we learned this morning. And Father, we ask for forgiveness that sometimes when our plans don't go as we expected, sometimes out of fear, we're trying to do our own ways. We're trying to take shortcuts. But Father, help us to trust you. If you hold our future, help us to trust you with the present. Help us to have faith as we sang this morning. You are the faithful one. Your faithfulness never ends, never ceases. Your love for us endures forever. You are the mighty one in our lives. So help us to see you, who you are. You are an amazing, a powerful God, and you can deal with all the giants in our lives and all our fears. So just help us to let go and to trust you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.